Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jim Burns. All the doctors are in the house.
Hello. Glad to be here.
I would say sunny California, but it's not. And maybe it is for 5 minutes. I love that. I mean, I know it's really harsh for me to say that, but you guys have had some terrible weather recently, and just praying for sunshine for you guys in the
You were rubbing it in a bit before we went on air, Beck.
Listen, because in the Midwest, you know, we're waiting for the sun to come back out. But, you know, one of the things that we have been talking about for the last couple of months, weeks, I mean, we get calls every single day from parents dealing with the relationship they have or don't have with their adult sons and daughters. You know, you raise them, you think that they're going to follow along in your footsteps, they're going to rise and call you blessed, but they probably aren't. And that's the reason why you're calling us, which I, you know, call us, please, 1-800-229-3000. But Jim, I want to start with you because you're going to be speaking at our Courageous Parents Workshop. You know, there's so many things that have broken the relationship. How do we redeem these relationships when, you know, things like political or values, like what's happening in these relationships?
Well, you know, Becky, it's a great question, and you're right. People just ask every day, and I'm looking at Alice because you've got younger kids, and when I had younger kids, it never dawned on me that my kids were not going to call me blessed when I was adult. You know, although that's changing. My daughter the other day gave me a great compliment. She said, you know, I'm in a parent just like, you know, you and mom parented,
wow.
And I went,
oh,
whoa.
That's a big one.
You didn't say that when you were 17. I think we were too conservative for them or whatever. But anyway, the interesting side to it, Becky, is that we too many times say what my wife said. Wow, didn't see that coming. You know, I'm in shock that they're straying from our faith and they're violating our values. And every kid doesn't do that, obviously. All three of our daughters, who are absolutely wonderful and incredible, they did. They bumped. I just say bumped because they're in their 30s now and they're back, and we go to church with one of them, and you know, because they live near us, and you know, it's fine. But the fact is that for parents, I think we have to make sure that we're not one-topic parents. So our kid does something really goofy, and we become one-topic parents. We're only thinking about that. I was talking with a woman yesterday who whose daughter moved in with her boyfriend, and the daughter's 19. And I said to her, which I say often, I've said this in front of you too, I said to her, does she know what you believe? Yes. Does she know how you feel? Yes. Then broaden the relationship, because you want to be that safe relationship. You can agree to disagree, but you want to be that safe relationship for her when she does crash and come back. That doesn't mean that you don't have standards and values like the boyfriend and the girl. I wouldn't, in our home, if that would have happened, they wouldn't have slept in the same bedroom when they came to visit us. That just wouldn't have happened. It's our house, our rules, right? But again, it's really complicated for so many people.
It is.
And it's not just obviously the cohabitation issues, but they're straying from faith. I hear so often.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's political dissension, there's financial stuff, whether it's you don't agree with how they're spending their money or they're needing money from you all the time. It could be struggles with addiction that you've tried to help. And, you know, these are the kind of calls we get. You know, what do I do in this relationship? And, you know, I would encourage you, if this is part of your story, if you have an adult son or daughter that you're at odds with, the answer isn't to not talk to them ever again. I mean, because we get those calls where it's like we're at odds. We can't talk anymore. because your influence doesn't end as they leave the house. And like you said, Jim, in your book, you know, keep your mouth shut and the welcome mat open. But that is tricky at times. We're going to be back after this taking your calls. Maybe this is an issue. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking calls. We, Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jim Burns, and, you know, Jim and I just did a Facebook Live on this subject of courageous parents, and you can check it out at newlife.com, our Facebook page, YouTube. We get it all over the place because we want to encourage you, and I know a lot of people, their comments were, I really needed this, and, you know, as we do this, we really do need each other, and we can learn from one another, so check that out. We're going to go to our calls right now, and we're going to start with Betty, who's calling us from Eugene, Oregon. Listens on the podcast, and I want to just thank all of our podcast listeners, and don't feel like you can't ever call us, and I'm glad you are calling us today, Betty. So how can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my 39-year-old son who has pretty much been a wanderer most of his adult life and kind of has lived a non-typical lifestyle. Right now, he's basically homeless and broke in living in a small village in Mexico. He's living in a for-rent outdoor camping area. So he has asked if he could borrow some money from me, to purchase a computer and, other things he needs to get something started to work online to try to get himself out of this, predicament. Quite a bit of his adult life, he's just kind of worked just to get by. He has two children from two different women, but he doesn't have contact with them. And about 6 months ago, he inherited several thousand dollars from his dad's mother, and he invested it all in crypto and lost it all. So this is how he got himself in this situation. And I guess I'm concerned because he's in Mexico with no money and nowhere to live. So my question is, should I lend him money for this, or is there something better I could offer, or should I don't know if I should do anything.
Okay. Well, it's a great way to start, Betty. We're sorry for the struggles he's having. Jim, let's start with you. Yeah. And what would you advise Betty to do?
Betty, tough situation, especially, you know, when you have your son who's 39 and he hasn't, like you said, he's been living a lifestyle that's, you know, different than ever expected. By the way, 75% of parents do help their children out financially at one time or another when their children are adults. And so the advice I'm going to give may go against the grain of that because I don't think we always should give them money. I think it depends on our situation. The question I would ask is, are you, by giving him money, and have you given him money before?
I have not.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
His dad did one time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what the question I have is, you know, would this be enabling dependency on you? Where he's being dependent on you. If this is something that could help get him started and you see this as something positive that could, you know, help him, you know, move on and move forward, I personally don't see that as big of a problem as when we constantly are enabling dependency on us, because the job is for him at 39 to become a responsible adult. He's not being a responsible adult yet. But if that in small investment, now if he wanted the hyper, you know, computer that does doobity-doo and costs loads of money, I wouldn't give him that. I would start with something really, really basic that gets him by, but it's not the most beautiful thing. And then if he makes money on whatever he's going to do, then fantastic. That's better. But you got to have boundaries. You got to have expectations. You got to be able to say, this is a one-time deal. This is not a continuing situation. And and then I think you're better off. So again, I'm not opposed to us helping out our adult kids. I'm more opposed to us enabling dependency. So if you came and said, hey, he needs thousands of dollars, I'm going to take it out of my retirement fund for a new house down there in Mexico, I'd probably say, why? He can do that a lot cheaper, and you know, he's not responsible enough to even make the payments. When it's something like a computer that's small, that isn't as expensive, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, okay. Well, Alice, what would you say?
Betty, do you want to give him this assistance?
Well, you know, originally when he first proposed it to me, I was willing to do that. But then he called again this past week. The first request was, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or something. And then he said that his phone was dying, so he wanted me to consider also giving him money for a new phone and dental work and living expenses. And so that just kind of made me think, I'm not really sure if I should be doing this or how much to give him.
And are you worried that the requests will snowball if you give him some help now?
I guess my concern is that he will get himself out of his situation and just still live the same lifestyle, but I guess I just have to let that part go.
That seems quite likely. It seems like that's what he wants. At least that's what his behavior appears to be showing. Now, we can all change, but the most likelihood, the predictor of future behavior is past behavior. So I think about the Bible and what God tells us when we consider giving to another person. And Jim already addressed the enabling portion of it. The other side is, do we feel like we can freely give this? Is this a generosity that we're able to give? So financially, are you in a position to help? If you decide to help, I would certainly link it to a requirement that would move him closer to responsibility. So that might be, after you get a job and are working for a month, then I'm happy to help more. Or that's if beautiful. You're willing to talk to a coach and I'll pay for that session, then I will consider giving you the money. But when we set up a standard our child has to meet, it'll reveal something because he might say, no way, I don't want to do that. I want to be the wanderer. But allowing him to have the privilege of your generosity, it's good to link it to a request of him. But be prepared that that might upset him. That's not the response he wants from you.
Right. Well, I love that idea too because, Betty, here's the thing. He is 39. He's not a child. And you have to decide in your heart what is yours to give. It could be that you ask him to send you the details of what kind of computer and you order it and send it to him so that you're not sending money. That, you know, there could be limitations that way. But I do love the standard that you set there, Alice, about, you know, here, I'm gonna give you this. And, you know, just know that if there's something else you need, you know, I want you to get a work or a job and begin to find your life. It's really sad when these situations come. And Betty, I don't know, does that feel like something that you could do?
It does. I guess what I don't understand, though, is, you know, if I gave him the money to do all that and then, you know, his life didn't change, I don't really see how I could, you know, link something to it.
Well,
because I already gave him the money.
Well, you ask for that link, that standard, before you give him the money. So show me the proof, have the coaching session, get a job in the town, start making a little money, show me a proof, send me a photo of it, and then I'm willing to give you the money. And it's
right,
up to you if you choose to do it or not.
Because even if you give him the computer, or even the money to get the computer, he's still going to need to pay for internet or go to some place that's going to, you know, there's lots of things. But I do think that it's that decision of what is in your heart to give is going to be the driving force. And you know what, Betty, we got to stay present. You can't know how this will help, but you can decide if this is what you want to do right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you were talking about,
okay.
Alice, too.
And Becky, I think how God asks us to evaluate two things. He says we are to help other people up when their burden is too great for them to bear on their own. Like if a disaster happens, then we help because a person can't necessarily help themselves. I don't think that really applies to this situation.
Right.
On the other hand, God says if you're not going to work, then you don't get to eat, meaning we have to put in our part if we want the benefits of hard work. We shouldn't just benefit from other people's hard work.
That's good insight. Jim, do you have anything else?
I do. Becky, I thought your advice was really good, and if he was a neighbor, I would by no means hand him cash. I would say, what kind of computer are you talking about? And then say, well, you know what? I can't afford that, but I can afford this, and hand him the computer. Because sending cash means he can spend it any way he desires, and that's in Mexico. The more complicated part, Betty, is that because he's in Mexico, in terms of how do you get it down there and whatnot. I mean, there's probably ways to do that. You might want to look into that. I'm not always for us just giving our kids cash, especially if they've not been responsible with it in the past. It's much better to do that. And if they ask for, you know, he asked for, I heard, at first I heard computer from you, but then I heard computer, phone, living expenses. Well, I can't do all of that. I'm going to start with this. If things go well, I may be able to invest more. I'm not sure about that, or don't even say that. But I wouldn't give him everything. I would give him something that could probably most benefit if you are going to give it to him. And literally, I would look into that. I'm sure there are ways to get that computer you know, down there, or whatever he's asking for, as opposed to the cash where he could go and blow that in one night of partying. I don't know that that's a story.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to do that.
Well, Betty, I hope that's helpful.
He's in a little village that's like under 600 people.
Yeah.
And the closest sort of town is like 2 hours away. So I've kind of tried to look for how to get a computer there from here, and I haven't been able to, but I know he will figure out a way.
He will
definitely buy one and try, but like, I don't know what the end results.
I mean, some of those other places you could potentially buy it from a store 2 hours away and he just picks it up.
Right.
And
And then there's two things, Betty. First of all, whether you do or whether you don't is not an indictment on you as a mom.
Right.
That it is a decision from adult to adult. I liked your analogy, Jim, of a neighbor. The other part is, if you don't have people around you, whether it's sisters, brothers, family members, girlfriends, people at the church, that you can discuss this with, who may know your situation and know him better, I think that would be a good next step as well. We're going to send you a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, and I hope that will be helpful. It's so tricky in those days, because you want him to succeed. You want him to be in a place where he's growing and thriving. And sometimes we can't get out of our own way as adults, right? So we're glad you called, Betty. We're going to go to Jane, who's calling us from Lake Mary, Florida, listens on WKTO. And we're glad you did. How are you doing, Jane?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Doing well. How can we help you?
Well, my question is I know for many years that I need to stop people pleasing, and I especially have a difficult situation with my youngest child, because even though she and her husband are working, they are just barely able to make ends meet. Now, I'm retired on a fixed income, and it seems like for the past 13 years at least, I've been giving them money, and even though I keep saying each time, you know, this is the last time, but you know, it's always more and more and more. I feel like I'm enabling them. And, you know, I even had them live with me for 3 years so they could save money to be able to buy something, and they didn't save anything. So I'm very frustrated, and I don't know what to do. I want to be a good mom, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to enable.
That's a great question, Jane. Let's start with you, Alice. Where do you want to go with this?
Jane, let's try to check on the motivation behind continuing to cross your boundary of this is the last time. And my guess would be it might be fueled by guilt, something that you feel you didn't do well enough as a mom and you're making up for it. Or it might be fueled by fear, where you are worried about your daughter's reaction if you stop giving. Now, we're coming up to the break, so you might consider that over the break and give us an answer on the other side.
Yeah. Hold on, Jane, and we'll be back after this break. You know, I mentioned that Facebook Live. You can also find out all about the Courageous Parents Workshop at newlife.com. Click on the events page. You'll see all the information there, or you can always call us. And, you know, we want to help you. We're talking to folks this morning just about these challenges, and there is a way through. It's just such a complex thing because every problem seems to lead to another problem, and we want to find some solutions and redeem these relationships. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000, and we have a few lines open. We got some folks that are waiting, and we will get to your calls, and we're going to be recording for the next hour and a half, and we want to help you. And, you know, whether it's a parent issue with an adult son or daughter or something else, because there's always something. We are talking to Jane right now, who has some adult daughters who she is financially supporting in some way or another. And Alice, you had asked Jane a couple of questions. Jane, did you have a minute to think about those? And what would your response be?
So, Jane, the question was, does it fit that either guilt and or anxiety, fear are fueling the way you're helping your daughter?
Yes, I believe that is true because I have an anxiety disorder. And I'm on medication for that. So, you know, I have this fear that if I don't help them, you know, that they won't be able to afford their bills and they'll become homeless.
And how likely do you think it is, in reality-based, how likely is it that they'll become homeless?
I think it's pretty likely because they tell me that even with both of their salaries, they are just barely making ends meet. So, you know, I mean, I've tried to give them money for things that I thought was good, like they wanted to take a paralegal class. You know, I've given them money for new tires, you know, for all these things that are necessities, but yet nothing ever came of them going into another field because the field that they're in is not, paying enough. But it was always one of these things where, you know, they always seem to blame someone or something else for why things didn't work out in their lives.
And Jane, as you consider, what if they need to come close to homelessness to start managing their funds and managing their needs better? What happens to your fear and anxiety when you think about that with me?
It gets heightened, of course.
Of course, yes. And so what support do you get in your life to manage your fear? How do you work on your fear?
I pray daily. I journal. I read the scriptures every day. I see a psychiatrist for the medication. I talk to my sister a lot about it. She's like my sounding board.
And how about counseling?
I've tried counseling for so many years, and, you know, nothing ever seemed to improve for me. I always had trouble putting into practice what they told me to do because I have such weak boundaries and I struggle with saying no.
And so did you quit counseling because it doesn't seem to work for you?
Yeah, and also the expense of it. But I did recently speak to somebody at New Life yesterday and they are going to connect me with a counselor who is here in Florida. So I'm going to start that.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be a good support along with everything else that you're doing. Jim, what would you have to say to Jane about this situation?
Well, Jane, you sound like a wonderful person, and I feel your pain with your daughter and son-in-law. But you said at the very beginning of the call, you said, you know, you're a people pleaser, and that's a struggle I write about in my own life, too. I mean, I am, and I've had to work through that. And I just want to simply say you're not responsible for their happiness. And frankly, maybe the best thing that could happen is what we were talking about in terms of, you know what, I don't think they're going to go into homelessness. And I understand when a person has some anxiety about that, that's a mom's fear. But they may have to learn the hard way. And every time you say this is the last time, what that's saying for you is you're putting up a boundary, but then you're breaking that boundary, and that's not going to work for them. That's just not good relational, you know, issues mm-hmm. with anybody. And so if you're going to continue to say that, then they don't, it doesn't make sense to them. They don't hear that. They don't, they're not hearing that because you continue to break that. You're on fixed income. And they both have a job. They're making more money than you are, it sounds like. I would say, you know what, I because of where my needs are and what my issues are, I want to help you in many ways, emotionally and even physically if I can, but financially, we got to stop this. Because what's going to happen with that is it's going to cause you to build resentment and bitterness toward them. And when you do that, then you're not going to have a good relationship with them. And by you just saying, hey, honestly, I'm on a fixed income, there's nothing I can do, I think that's going to help you with your boundaries. And in the long run, that's going to help them. Because you know, what we talk about with addicts, you know, as we said, you know, we got to help them. Sometimes you have to create a crisis for them to get to their rock bottom or whatever. Sometimes by not giving them money, you're actually doing a favor, because you're creating a crisis for them that maybe they will step up to it. And I know they haven't. Their history is that they haven't. But the truth is that it's sure not going to. It's working right now by you just handing them the money. So why would they want to go get a, you know, another job, or why would they want to look into something else?
Well, and I would say too, Jane, they're not even thinking about what this is doing to you, which is eroding the relationship that you have. You live in worry towards them. They are unaware of what your needs are. And so as you set boundaries in place, the expectation is going to be, well, they'll feel better about this. That might be, you know, in your mind, you're thinking that will settle my worries. It won't. That's where the counselor can come in. Because our expectation is that the people who are taking advantage of us are unaware of what our needs and what our desires are. We become a non-person. And I think in counseling, that can help you understand that, you know, that dynamic that's in play. But I think the experts are right on this one. You might have to let them fall before they rise. And we'll be right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we are so grateful to be able to offer help and hope, and we do that because we have so many generous givers, but we always need more because there's always more that we have to do. And for the month of March, we are offering a great resource, Take Your Life Back, the book by Steve and Dave Stoop, and it helps you with these situations where somebody else is trying to take your life. And not literally, obviously, but sometimes it can feel that way. We are so stressed out, just like what we were talking with Jane about. You know, it just feels like somebody else is overtaking us. And in the recovery world, we talk about working your side of the street, and Take Your Life Back has a lot of those principles. So for a gift of any amount, just call us and we'll send you that book. If you add $50, we'll add the devotional that goes along with it. But it will make a difference in the lives of so many people that we're helping. And speaking of helping people, we're going to go back to the calls. And we are going to talk with Jessica, who's calling us from Fort Worth, Texas, listens on KWRD. Jessica, how can we help you today?
Hi, yes. My daughter is 32. She's always been a very, very strong Christian and always kind of fell into relationships that weren't that great for her. She wanted so badly to be married because she saw her friends all getting married. And we moved to Texas and she met a guy, and he supposedly is a very strong Christian, but as it's turning out, he won't pray with her. He won't read the Bible with her. He won't go to therapy with her because he's got a lot of issues. He comes from a very heavy hoarding family. They're hoarders, and it's we can't even go over to their house. So bad. So wants him to be involved in the relationship with Christ with her, and she's to the point now where, you know, he wants her to go to his church, and nobody's under, like, 80. Everybody's old, and there's no youth there. The music is awful. It's very small, little, teeny little.
So there's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of challenges, Jessica, in their marriage. There's a lot of challenges in their marriage.
She's an incredible singer, but she's given up her singing. She doesn't want to sing anymore.
Jessica?
And he wants her to sing in the worship team. The worship team is like...
Hey, Jessica?
It's not good. And we're used to incredible...
Jessica, we have to be able to go back and forth with you. Can you hear Becky? She's asking you a question.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Terry, I don't think she can hear us. Okay. We'll see if we can get her to the place where she can hear us. But you can hear that there's a challenge in that relationship, for sure. Jim, let's start. I think we've heard enough that we could talk about just some of the differences, but even as a mom, in relationship with a daughter who's married to somebody who just wasn't quite, what they thought, how would you start to kind of support, encourage, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. I probably wouldn't put the husband down I say, in that book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children, I talk about the blend and in-laws, and the way to help is to actually kind of, frankly, I think, kind of keep our mouth shut and come alongside them. But we're not the counselor. I would say that the daughter should go get some counseling and get some coaching on that, because she may have to go to that church for a short time, or maybe her expectations are too high. Maybe her expectations are different than her mom's. And so as a mom, it's real hard because she's not a counselor. She's the mom. So I think she needs to come alongside her daughter and love on her daughter, but actually not butt in too much on the husband issue. I think somebody else should. So again, that daughter should go in and talk to a counselor, talk to a pastor, get some help. And then everything is in season. So again, if you're at that small church that's not as good as they thought, for a short time, that may not, if that would bring him back to a stronger faith, she has a desire for the daughter has a desire to pray with her husband. If they did a 2-minute prayer to start out with, that's better than nothing. So, but I don't think I think mom has to back off a tad bit and come alongside and help and be a cheerleader to everybody in that case. But she can't meddle. If she's meddling, I'm not sure she is, but if she's meddling, that's not going to work.
Well, are we able to talk to Jessica, Terry? Can she come back? Jessica, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, well, you couldn't hear us before, so we weren't able to hear your question, and I think you probably just heard Dr. Burns talking about, you know, the challenges. Were you able to hear Jim's conversation?
Yes, and I can definitely relate. I am getting involved too much, and I know she has gone to that church for quite a while, and she just walks away empty, and she... Yeah. She loves the Lord, and she wants to get strong, and, you know, and she wants her partner to get strong with her.
And that's a good desire. Let's hear, Alice, what would you offer Jessica in this situation?
Jessica, it's certainly off-putting and confusing that he refuses to pray, read the Bible, go to therapy. If he's a good Christian man, why is that the case? And when we get refusals, most of us bristle and we come back with defensiveness or with accusations. That's just the normal reaction to somebody's refusal to do something good and what was a legitimate request. And what I find is that gentle curiosity gets us a lot further in these sorts of situations. And so if the husband or the partner is a fairly decent man, I like to give the benefit of the doubt and wonder, tell me, what is it about prayer? What is it about reading the Bible that's off-putting to you? And I just want to be a listener to you. That's a very difficult thing, to stay in the listening role when we're upset. And then I'd always have your daughter check, how has she been asking those questions? Because sometimes we get naggy, demanding, hypercritical when someone has told us no, rather than getting curious. So I'd have her go back again with some gentle curiosity and the willingness to look at the delivery of her requests, because many of us are overly negative, and that shuts a spouse down.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, Jessica, you love her and you want the best for her, and she may be happier than she's letting on. Sometimes that happens as well, that they might complain to mom more than what's actually going on in the house. There obviously was an attraction there at some point. But Jim, don't you see that sometimes as well, that, you know, the parent is a safe place to land,
right,
to seemingly solve a problem that they can't solve?
Right. And I actually smiled when you said that, Becky, because in my head, the bubble was saying, I wonder if her daughter is sharing some of this with her mom, because her mom's safe. And so mom's taking it, you know, and taking it farther. I was going to talk about the church situation, a different thing, very personal, way too personal probably, because this could, you know, there are people who listen who might know
this
story.
We're therapists. We can help you,
yeah.
Jim.
But seriously, but, you know, Kathy had chosen to go to a church at a season in our life that I really didn't relate to the pastor as much, and I didn't think things were great, but I went. And I kind of, you know, did it with a stiff upper lip, and I didn't say much to Kathy because she really liked this place. It was after we were in the empty nest, so our kids were out of the place. And I read a quote by Soren Kierkegaard, who's a philosopher, who said, when you go to church, you shouldn't ask, how was it? You should ask, how did I do? Because it's participatory. Mm-hmm. I went, oh, my goodness. So I went to church with a different attitude. And again, I never related to him, but I did two things. One is I went, it's not, there are other people, my wife, one, who was really enjoying it. And so I can sit there for an hour and put up with it, or say, God, what do you have for me in this hour? So I actually got to sit there, and, you know, really, it was much better then. But I also found other ways of growing spiritually. I mean, growing in I was in a small group. All of a sudden, I noticed that there were some really cool podcasts that I hadn't been listening to. And so I got my spiritual nurture from outside of that church. So Sunday morning for an hour, I did that for Kathy. I held her hand. We sang the songs. I liked the songs. They weren't exactly the same songs like churches I wanted to go to, but that's okay. The message didn't always do something to me, but I went, God, what do you have to say to me during this? And you know what? It changed. My attitude changed with it. I still didn't say, this is the church I want to go to. I want to spend the rest of my life. And finally, one of our daughters was going to another church, and Kathy said, I think we should try that. I loved it. Okay. Well, guess what? We now go there. And but Kathy was able to, like, you know, people support what they help create. So that might be an answer for this woman for a bit, for her daughter. I mean, find other avenues.
I love that. I'm sure our audience did too. I mean, how did I do? Boy, that'll convict you, you know, that it's not a place where you're entertained, but how do you participate?
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Jim. Thanks for sharing something so personal. It's awesome because it makes a difference in other people's lives. And look at how God used that experience for you. I hope something we said, Jessica, will encourage you in your relationship with your daughter. We're going to send you a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And we're going to continue taking calls. We got some lines open. We are going to talk to Ed after the break. And if you need to call, if you want to call, call us. 1-800-229-3000. We want to help. We're here for you. And we know there's hope. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I said on the last segment, I'm so grateful for all of you who are giving to New Life. It really makes a difference, and it really does give new life, because so many people are finding help and hope through our many resources, our workshops. You know, we've mentioned Courageous Parents a couple times today, but we also have Every Man's Battle and our Emotional Freedom Workshop that are coming up. We really want you to experience the life that God has planned for you, and that's why we do everything that we do. We have a great group of monthly supporters. It's our Club New Life family who give every month, and you can be part of the Club New Life family. And if you join, we have a welcome gift of our 8 100-day devotionals. There's all different topics, you know, topics on depression, anger, shame, fear and anxiety, character, prayer, healing, and peace. And it's just our way of saying thank you. And Alice is showing one of the most beautiful colors that we have. They're all different colors. But really and truly, Club New Life does make a difference. And if you'd like to join, call us and we'll get you connected. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to go back to the calls. We're going to continue taking calls. We got some lines open for next hour, but hold on if you're there. We're going to talk to Ed, who's calling us from Louisville, Kentucky, and listens on WGTK. Hi, Ed. How can we help you today?
Yes, ma'am. My question is, how do I, what's the best way to stay in contact with my children after a divorce? I had to move 1,000 or so miles away, but I still want to stay in contact and be able to help them however I can.
Okay. How old are your kids, Ed?
28 and 24.
Okay. All right. Jim, you want to start, and then we'll go to Alice?
Ed, from the divorce, how's the relationship with your adult kids?
It's good as far as I know. Mm-hmm. It was strained a little bit
Sure.
the last couple of years because of what happened. I didn't want the divorce. My wife did. And it turns out that after she wanted out a long time ago, I just didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And they did. So I think it's okay.
Yeah, right.
I just want
right.
to keep it okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a friend of mine who wrote a book called Long Distant Grandparenting, but I think it's the same with our kids. You know, and he said, you know, what he had to do, because his kids were far away, is he had to, on a regular basis, have regular calls, FaceTime, you know, things like that, staying in touch. Are you able to FaceTime them? Do they like that if you did that, where you could kind of even see them face-to-face, even more than just on a phone call?
That was probably a suggestion, or that has been. I don't have the capability to do that
right.
where I'm at.
Yeah. Do you have access to a computer?
No, sir.
No, okay. Yeah. So, well, then you have a regular phone call. I mean, when my parent, I was away, and my parents, I would talk to them once a week, which I thought was plenty of time. And I thought, boy, my parents probably wanted more time from me than that. But every Sunday we talked. And what I really appreciate about my parents was they weren't asking me questions like, I was in college or whatever. Did you do your homework? Did you do that? It was, you know, it was more just fun stuff. And my dad would tell me a joke, and it wasn't long, but it was meaningful. So, you know, if it's positive, they'll want you to keep calling. And so you may want to be that person who on a regular basis starts, you know, giving them a call. One of the things that one of my principles that I say oftentimes, though, is your kids are going to want to hear from you more than you probably, or they're going to want to hear less from you than you want to hear from them. Right.
Right. That's so true.
So, you know, if it's not a week, it's every other week. But stay in relationship with them that way. Send them cards. Let's say that one of your children is into sports or dance or movies or whatever, then engage on whatever they're interested in and, you know, send a note about that. So let's pretend that there's a son and your son's into baseball. Baseball's coming around here. We've had spring training. It's coming in. You know, so then you engage on those kinds of things. You keep the relationship alive that way. And then right. what happens is you've earned the right to be heard, and they may then one time share, you know, deeper and more meaningful things.
Well, before Alice, I want to ask one more question. Ed, how long have you been away from them? What's been the span of time?
Since the 20th of December till today. And my children, excuse me.
No, I was just going to say, so just this past December.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so there's some grief that's going on because of that transition, but go ahead with what you were going to say about your kids.
It's not so much that kind of connection. My trouble is, or what I'm having a problem with, I don't want to be upset and mad at their mother or at myself about this, is like their relationships and just their life. I was in their life and a weekly or at least a daily, every other day contact of some kind to see them, to help them. Help them with their vehicle, help them with this. All of that's gone, and I have a very difficult time with that, and it's over, I guess. I just got to accept that doesn't be anymore.
Ed, I hear your heart. Go ahead, Alice.
Ed, why do you have to, or let me just add one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why are you away from them physically?
Can't afford it.
Can't afford to be where they're at right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you could afford it, you'd move back is what I hear you saying. And then you could be part of their life.
I don't think I could because of the relationship with their mother.
Uh-huh.
So, Ed, oddly, in order to protect relationship with your children, you probably have to process through your anger towards their mom.
Yeah.
And whether that's in a new life recovery group with your pastor, with a counselor, working towards forgiveness by allowing yourself to be angry and to tell the story about your wife divorcing you, and that was not what you wanted. If you can get healing for your heart in that, you can probably have a cleaner relationship with your children. Otherwise, you're right to be a little worried that anger towards their mother might seep into some of your communication with them. I also want you to prayerfully consider risking a deeper question, asking, how is relationship with me now that I've moved away? And how have the changes in our lives affected you kids? Even pointing out, it felt like we were more strained before, but I think we're closer now. Is that accurate? And be willing to give them a listening ear if they will answer those questions for you.
Yeah, and Ed, one last thing I would suggest is if you can do some divorce recovery. A lot of the grief that you're feeling about, you know, you just said, I'm done. I can't help them anymore. I'm removed. And we can feel that way when we're in a big time of transition. And so I just want to encourage you to connect with someone. We've got people in your area that we can get you connected with a counselor, just to help you process and figure this out. It can feel like there's no hope. It can feel like I'm too far away. It's never, you know, we're not going to go back there. And, you know, there's some of that is true. But how do we accept that part of those transitions that come along? And at the ages that your kids are, that was probably going to happen on some level anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not to say that there's not feelings to go along with that. You know, that's really a tough thing. I'm going to send you a copy of the 1-Year Bible for Men. I think that'll encourage you in these days. But we're also going to get you connected with either a coach or a counselor in your area. You know, we've talked a lot today about these relationships that we have with adult sons and daughters. And, you know, there's something more than just that parent role. It is really stepping into their lives. And like you just said, Jim, a lot of times we want to talk to them more than they want to talk to us. And actually, that's how it was for us too. At some point, there was a transition. Yes. We don't live with mom and dad anymore. So it is part of life, but there can be some great things that come with that. It also encourages the younger parents. You know, these days, they're long, but the years go fast, right? Isn't that what it says? The days are long and the years are short. However that hits you today, I hope that you're encouraged, that God will give you strength and give you wisdom through a lot of different people, like Alice, like Jim, like your pastor, a counselor. If you need help, give us a call. We have callers waiting, and we're going to talk to them in the next hour. Please hold on. If you have a question, call us.
Thanks.
We'll see you next time.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.